The Sam Sorbo Show is brought to you in partnership by the Herzog Foundation.
Friends, we need to rethink how we define education. Pastors, we call upon you to urge parents to home educate.
You are powerful as a parent. You are the best role model for your child.
And we don't believe in lies, and we love this country.
Conservatism is anti-slavery. It's freedom.
Sam from a very talented family, by the way.
God is using you as a prophetic voice to awaken us.
One of the great spokesmen for homeschooling. She saved more kids than anybody. Let's give it up for Sam.
Hello, welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show live here on Patriot.tv. So excited to have you join us. We're going to talk about halal mortgages. If you haven't heard that term, be prepared. You'll be hearing it a lot more in the future, I predict. Also, debanking Christians, and the one and only, the great Eric Metaxas will be joining us in a little bit. But before we get started with all of that, let's just play this clip of Biden having what they're calling now his both sides moment. Watch this clip.
You condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Well, there you have it. And so there are a lot of people out in the media, typically conservative media, who are saying that that was his very fine people on both sides of the issue argument. And they're wondering why he isn't being held with his feet to the fire and asked to explain that remark. John Nicosia, remember when White House reporters demanded answers to the meaning of statements like this during the other guy's administration? How do you condemn someone who doesn't understand something? And in the same sentence, you condemn anti-Semites. It's a very odd thing. I think he was off the cuff, and you know how they don't like him going off the cuff. And so there are a lot of people who are quite unnerved, I think, by him basically equating both sides of the situation. So we'll see where that goes, because Colombia is still dealing with their protests to the point that they have switched over now to online or virtual classes. They've asked all of their professors to offer virtual classes. They only have a week left and then testing and finals of the semester. But they have declared that basically the campus isn't safe for everyone, which is really quite a declaration when you think about it. And I don't know what Biden has in mind when he says that he's taken actions to ameliorate the situation. All right, so very fine people on both sides? I don't know, you tell me. I heard that, and that's what that sounded like to me. Let's talk about the halal mortgages. This is something that is fairly new, although it's been in the Middle East for quite a while. And I'm looking for my report on this and not finding it. There are three kinds of halal mortgages. The reason that they go about with this idea of halal mortgages is because in Islam, you are not allowed to charge interest. And so they have to figure out a way around charging interest, but still making money. So there are three different ways to have halal. And halal basically means it's the Islamic version of kosher. They have these three different alternatives where it's basically a rent to own. So you're paying a higher rent because at the end of your rental period, you will own the house. And therefore, it won't be classified as interest. The government apparently has an interest forgive the phrase, but apparently has an interest in seeing to it that these loans are made. They want to, the government, or people in the government, I should say, have decided that they need to encourage home ownership by the Muslim community. And because Muslims are forbidden in their scriptures or whatever from paying interest or charging interest, so pretty soon we will have halal banking here in the United States, as if we don't already. I'm sure we do. It's taken very firm root in England already. And this is what they call integration, but of course it's not. It's segregation. And apparently that's the new American way, is segregation instead of integration. But that's what happens when you have a Judeo-Christian nation and you invite non-Judeo-Christian people into the country and try to make them feel at home. And so this is the new way of going about business. On the flip side, we have 15 state officials writing a letter to Bank of America, warning Bank of America not to deplatform Christians or Christian businesses. A group of 15 financial officers from 13 states sent a notice to Bank of America raising concerns about the institution's debanking of Christians. That includes Lance Wallnau. We write to express, this is the letter, we write to express our concerns over Bank of America's troubling track record of politicized debanking. Bank of America's debanking policies and practices threaten the company's financial health, its reputation with customers, our nation's economy, and they finally get to this part, the civil liberties of everyday Americans. This letter was written on April 18th. They write, "We are especially troubled by Bank of America's track record of discriminating against religious minorities, religious ministries. Notable examples include a Memphis-based charity, Indigenous Advance Ministries, the Timothy II Project, and the Christian author and speaker Lance Wallnau. In April of last year, they shut down the account of the Indigenous Advance Ministries." They just shut it down. They provided very vague reasons for the closure of the accounts, claiming the organization's activities exceeded the institution's risk tolerance, that it no longer wanted to serve that business type. That's very vague. And by the way, they just changed their policies. Risk tolerance? That seems like a gobbledygook phrase to hide behind. Months later, after being confronted by an international media organization, the bank then claimed that it closed the accounts because the for-profit business engaged in debt collection. Neither that ministry nor the church collects debts, nor was the bank able to point to any policy prohibiting account holders from engaging in those activities. In 2020, the bank closed the account of Timothy II Project International, which trains pastors in more than 65 nations, just closed their account. But what they did to Lance Wallnau was even where they just froze his account. Now, it's one thing when they close your account and they say, hey, get your money out of here. But it's another thing when they just start bouncing your checks and don't give you access to your funds. And this is Bank of America. Remember, Bank of America was the bank that stepped up to the plate for the officials and provided all of the people who did ATM transactions in D.C. on January 6th or 5th. It's funny that they should call themselves Bank of America. That seems like a little bit of a misnomer. So the reason that I brought up the halal mortgages, that's up in Canada. It's not here yet, but that is included in Canada's 2024 budget. So they are ushering in a new banking system, because that's what the halal banking system is. It is different than, and here's the thing, like, I'm not going to weigh in on whether it's a better banking system or not as good of a banking system, because let's face it, our banking system, I mean, this story that we just talked about with Bank of America, our banking system has some challenges, shall we say. So, and yet, they're going to upend their banking system to provide accommodation for people who they say they want to assimilate. Apparently, they don't want them to assimilate. So Ottawa says it's exploring measures that could change the tax treatment of those products or provide a new regulatory sandbox for financial service providers. So they are looking into really completely upending their banking structure. Islamic law, Sharia law, prohibits Muslims from charging or receiving interest because they are seen as exploitative and immoral. Of course, the Bible says neither a lender nor a borrower be. But we have it. They don't. Sharia-compliant mortgages include payment structures that take interest out of the equation. And so the one is the rent-to-own model, which is called Ijara. And so the customers pay back the loan. Of course, it has interest in it. They're just not calling it interest. It's all semantics. They're in it to make money. And the banks will figure out a way to make money off of this. The payments go toward the capital and they provide the profit as well. So it's capital with profit, which is basically the same thing. It's capital with interest or capital with profit. Musharaka is a form of partnership with the financier. It involves both parties owning the property until the equity is gradually transferred and the partnership dissolves. So that's just a different structure for the same thing. It's basically rent to own, but they've structured it somewhat differently. And then Murabaha is a credit system in which ownership is immediately sold to the customer. The profits are they're included in the final offer. The buyer's credit history, deposit, and terms of the agreement are factored in. So they're going to basically, they're going to take a risk on you, which means you're going to pay through the notes. It'll be interesting to see if any of that actually lands. But rest assured, if Canada adopts it, it's on its way down here, if it's not already here. It'll be interesting, because we've already upended the financial system in 2008. So it looks like it's coming again. And let's face it, we've got huge, huge interest right now, inflation, and that's going to take its toll also. And we're at war. I don't know that we can deny that, and that will have a huge impact as well. So a little bit more on that, but then we're going to go into what's happening at Columbia University and the other things that are happening in our schools. That's coming up next. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Hi there, Sam Sorbo here. You've heard me say that if you send your kids to school, you're allowing the internet access to them. When you give your child a phone, you're not giving them access to the internet. You're giving the internet access to them. But there's a way that you can mitigate for the dangers that that implies. And that is with the Canopy app. I've talked to the people at this company and they have your child's best interests at heart. They screen images that come through on the phone and they blur out the sections that you don't want your kid to see. They actually can, in real time, prevent sexting and other things that happen with phones. And so I would encourage you to take a look at Canopy and use the code SAM at checkout for a special discount. Go over to canopy.com, take a look at Canopy, use my code SAM at discount, and then get back to me and tell me how much you love it. Thanks so much. Bye. Welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. Just before I jump off of the Canada criticism bandwagon, I got to show you this. This is fascinating. Out of, where is it? Out of Ottawa? Let's put the graphic up. No, it's Ontario. An Ontario resident wants to have both. Can you imagine people mutilating themselves in this fashion and thinking that they're doing the right thing for themselves? This is crazy. So they're going to do, and by the way, I guarantee you, the person who is signing up for this, and that's not even the craziest part. The craziest part is the government there is forcing the taxpayers to pay for it. That's lunacy. And yet they can't do anything about it. But the person who is signing up for this has not been briefed on how horrifyingly awful the surgery is, and more important, the healing that comes after it, if healing comes. They have no idea. This is This is actually abuse on an individual that somehow has the medical community giving its bona fides for. That tells you how far the medical community has gone off the rails. That's off the rails. It's absurd. Okay, on to Columbia University and the protests there. The protests continue. They had a fairly peaceful weekend, but the protesters have not left. They are encamped. They have tents that they've put up. I'm not sure why putting a tent up is the thing that establishes the fact that you are, you know, relentless in your scolding. So the school has now shifted to remote learning. And of course, it's the start of Passover. The university said in a statement that all faculty whose classrooms are located on the main Morningside campus and equipped with hybrid capabilities should enable them to provide virtual learning options for the remainder of the semester. Now, the semester is over May 10th, so that's a couple weeks. They've got final exams. I imagine you're going to have to go on campus for final exams. And these people who want to create havoc and wreak some damage will be out in force because they know you're a hostage to that situation as a student of Columbia. You can't fail your final. You fail the class. You've paid for the class. But Columbia has already admitted that they can't provide a safe place. They can't provide for the safety of their students. And so they are encouraging students to stay home, which strangely, that was the admonition from, was it in London, the mayor of London? If you feel unsafe, stay home. Don't go outside. Which is like, seriously? But that's the state of the cops today, I guess. The New York cops tried. They arrested over 100 people last week, and they arrested several more over the weekend, although not as many. In addition, the school said faculty in other classrooms or teaching spaces that do not have capabilities for offering hybrid options should hold the classes remotely if there are students' requests for virtual participation. So they just have to get it figured out. And so they already had, some of the classes had already been moved to remote. This is really, I mean, we need to park on this for just a minute and understand that an Ivy League university is being held hostage by protesters. And the only reason that they are being held hostage by the protesters is because they side with the protesters. That's the only reason that this can possibly be happening. The New York City police force is strong enough to get rid of 500 protesters, to send them home. They don't want the optics. They're up against a formidable enemy, they think, and or they side with them. So they're like, you know what? The protests actually further my agenda, so I'm not sure why I would be against it. And the reason I say that is because the president obfuscated and double-talked at the congressional hearing when they asked her about the kinds of protests that happen on her campus. Are there anti-Semitic protests? And she was like, no. And then Elise Stefanik came with the receipts and said, these people were chanting, kill all the Jews, death to Zionism, death to Israel, Jew hatred. Like, is that not anti-Semitic? What is your definition of anti-Semite? And she couldn't do anything but walk back her statement. But she didn't apologize, because why would she? Robert Kraft, who owns the New England Patriots football team, and he funded the Kraft Center for Jewish Student Life, which is across from Columbia's campus, has now reported that he's suspending donations to the university. It's really amazing, because these universities get a lot of funding from Jewish patrons, and they've funded their own anti-Semitic rhetoric. It's really, and he said, I'm no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff, and I'm not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken. And what he means is protect its Jewish students and Jewish staff, by the way. They have a negotiator who said, I would say the university led us to this situation by bringing the police in. So the negotiator for the protesters said, hey, they brought it on themselves. They brought the police in. Well, what do you expect them to do? But they didn't bring the police in effectively enough. So what they did was they kicked the hornet's nest. And now they've got a big problem on their hands. And there's Joe Biden pouring more fuel on it. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for that. Good one. Mayor Eric Adams released a statement on Sunday saying in part he's horrified and disgusted with the anti-Semitism being spewed at and around Columbia University campus. He condemns the hate in the strongest of terms. Well, all right then. Good to know. But now I'm going to switch over to this fascinating story about why there's so much anti-Semitism. So Summit Ministries, I believe it's the same Summit Ministries that I support and love. And if you have teenagers, really consider sending them to a Summit Ministries camp. My daughter is going for the second time this year, my sons both went and really enjoyed it. So they sent out a poll to find out, try to unravel why Gen Z seems to be more anti-Israel than other generations. This is very interesting. This Christian group behind the poll says Monday, it said it knows why Gen Z has a more favorable opinion of the terrorist group than other.